Recorder's going, so whenever we're ready.
Okay, well, we got 2 minutes.
So are you painting buoys?
Yeah, about a thousand.
You like that color?
I'd love the color, but you know what? If you don't take care of it, the sunlight, like when we take the buoys out and leave them sit for 2 months, the sunlight fades it out.
Oh.
So it's not so fluorescent after.
It's nice at night, though, right?
Oh, it's nice when it's rough, because you can see that fluorescent orange. Oh, Roy, he's on the network recorder, it's recording.
Usually she gives us a separate agenda. It's not much there anyway.
Before we start, I'll just mention, if you want to, we have a public comment period. If you'd like to make a public comment, there's a form back there you can fill out and bring them up to me, and we'll call on you when that moment arrives. My Mickey Mouse watch says it's 10 o'clock, so we'll call the meeting to order.
It's 10.
Join me for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Gary, can we get a roll call, please?
Joe Spear.
Here.
Sharon Hartung.
Here.
Richard Heap.
Here.
Ken Range.
Here.
Roy Davis.
Here.
Thank you. Are there any additions, modifications to the agenda?
I don't have any changes.
Okay. Well, hearing none, we'll move on. Do we have any declarations of personal conflicts of interest on this issue?
No.
Okay. Entertain a motion to approve the agenda.
I make a motion to approve the agenda as written.
Okay.
I second it.
Second by Joe. Any discussion? Hearing none. Roll call.
Ken.
Yes.
Roy.
Yes.
Sharon.
Yes.
Joe.
Yes.
Richard.
Yes.
Okay, and I see no public comments. So we'll move into action items. Action item A, the presentation by Curry County.
Yeah, we have Julie and Josh. Do you both want to come up?
Sure. So I have something to hand out real quick, just so everyone can kind of follow along.
Cool. Here, make sure you speak up a little bit, because we don't have the sound system like you guys have.
We just got a pager.
Yeah.
You have one too.
Yeah.
Thank you. So just for the record and for everyone that's here, this is Josh Hopkins. He is our county plant parks director. Myself, I'm Julie Schwalzer. I'm the director of operations.
Okay, so at the workshop you guys had, I believe that was last week?
Yep. Last week,
last week with Curry County, the idea of doing some sort of partnership for the RV park came up, and it kind of sounded like there was some sort of interest between both your board and our board of looking at that maybe a little bit further. So I spoke with your board manager about, you know, a couple of things, and based off of the revenue sharing information he was provided in this, kind of drafted up some baseline idea of what we could possibly do. Just to go over a few things real quick, sorry, I just realized that Davis is on the speakerphone. Yeah. Just to go over some things real quick, Curry County Parks Department is a self-sufficient fund. We don't receive any sort of general fund contribution. Tax dollars aren't tied into our funding. We receive our funding through user occupancy fees, a little bit of a Marine Board grant, and then state RV license fees. State RV license fees makes up probably the second, if not the most, of our funding, and that's a state program. In front of you guys is kind of just a download of what the state RV license fees are, because they're very confusing to a lot of people. State RV license fees are revenues that are allocated to counties to increase the resources available for offsetting operational costs and other costs associated with running campgrounds. Part of the reason Oregon counties are able to operate their campgrounds so high is because of these fees. State parks doesn't get these fees. RV parks that are not county parks don't get these fees. But it's basically something that allows us not to have to solely rely on user occupancy fees for things like site maintenance, repairs, yearly operational costs. So these are very big beneficial stuff. To be eligible, if we did pursue some sort of lease under this program, the lease length itself has to be a minimum of 20 years. And then allocated fees are calculated per campsite. Those campsites do not have to be RV sites. That's probably the biggest confusion in state RV license fees, is everyone assumes like its title means that we have to put in like 30, 40 foot padded RV sites. Tent sites, yurt sites, basically anything that meets their standard of a campsite matches that total. For campsites, they just need a picnic table, fire ring, parking space, access to a restroom, and water. That is the baseline qualifications for this type of agreement. Minimum 20 years, those accessible features onto a campsite. For our county, we receive approximately $700 to $1,000 a year per campsite to offset our operating costs. So at a place like Boyce Cove, where we have 40 some odd campsites, it accounts for a large portion of our yearly operational budget to be able to do that. So when we're looking at other proposals and partnerships we can do, we look at what might increase our state RV license fees to help offset those costs. Next thing that the state RV license fee program does also open up is what's called the State Opportunity Grant for counties. This is administered through the Oregon State Parks, similar to the state local grant as far as what type of grants they allow. They have small grants of up to $75,000, large grants of up to $750,000, and smaller planning grants of $40,000. Difference between this grant and all the other grants that the Oregon State Parks uses and facilitates, this grant is specifically for county park systems to apply for. So unlike the local Oregon State Park grant, where 600-700 plus jurisdictions might apply for the same pool of money, in this case you've got 30 some odd counties that are applying it, and that's only counties with county park systems. So while still competitive, because a lot of counties put in multiple grant offers type of a thing, it's not at the same level of competitiveness as these other things, because the idea is when the state got all this lottery money back in the day and they were trying to facilitate what they could do to help parks and recreation, they developed the state RV license fee system partially and the opportunity grant to make sure that counties, especially smaller rural counties, are able to stay competitive. For us, our county, for any of those match funds, it's only a 25% match. The opportunity grant is what we use to maintain and do most of our campground repairs. We just recently used it to replace our restroom up at our Boyce Cove, or at least not replace, but remodel it and bring it up to current standards and everything like that.
So just so everyone understands too, the county isn't proposing that we own the campground at the port. What we're suggesting is if the port were interested in entering a long-term lease with the county, these are the types of funds that the RV park would then be opened up to, because the county would be the leaseholder.
Correct. The leased option for the opportunity grant, again, matches state RV license fee. The lease needs to be at least 20 years before you can put in for funding on those types of grants. So based off of that information, that's just kind of the background of the resources that the county has available to it per campsite, per grant, that the port may not necessarily for operating the RV park. Additionally, with all those grants and everything like that, you know, the state based your scoring off of the SCORP, which is their five-year plan of how they want the state to kind of proceed with things. When writing these types of grants, I've been to trainings and seminars on the SCORP. So a lot of times when we were writing these types of things, we'd get higher points and everything because we know what the state's looking for in the answers. So based off of the reported revenue that is looking at what was in your guys' packet, plus I reviewed an old profit and loss thing, just kind of looking at that, it seems like your guys' expense is a little high. You guys got your profits and your net income, and with what was put in the packet, it was an 80-20 split type of a thing. We know your guys' restroom needs replaced, and so based on what that looks like, a general idea of what type of lease we could really work out would be something along the lines of where, in the lease agreement, the county retains any state RV license fee increase. This just goes back into our county park system to operate, maintain, do upgrades of all of our county parks facilities, including this facility as well. I'm not sure if we're actually allowed to share those fees. I'll have to find out if that was even an option. But for this lease, I would recommend a 30-year lease, minimum of 20 years. My recommendation would be some variation of a 30-year. This is due to like cost recovery because of upgrades that we would plan to do in the next couple of years with these different grant programs. We'd basically be looking to give the whole campground a facelift, regrading the gravel, changing out picnic tables to ADA standards and stuff like that. Anything like that is gonna increase your visitor use, which is good for everybody. And then with the idea that the restroom needs replaced, one thing that we have available to County Parks Department that, you know, a lot of other jurisdictions don't, is we have a process in which we can loan money from our road fund to our Parks Department without having to go through the loan process that the board set up for the districts. With this type of agreement, my plan would be to recommend that when it comes to replacing your restroom and all that, we loan the money to ourselves from one county department to another county department, and we build a payment structure in to the agreement for that. So if we needed to loan, like, you know, X amount of dollars to get the bathroom replaced, fixed, upgrade, doing it this way means that instead of the port having to try to get a grant, instead of the county having to try and get a grant a year or two from now to try and fix what's currently an issue, we're able to get it done quickly. Also, it frees up all of our capital and everything like that because we're not having to put out capital from either side. We're just bringing the money straight over. And we don't have to worry about our credit ratings or income to debit ratios for any department because this is an interdepartmental loan between our own government within Curry County. I would recommend that after reviewing the estimated revenue sharing that we adjust the figures from the 80-20 to a 25% of the net goes to the county, 65% goes to the port, and 10% of the net goes to repaying the loan from the road fund. Once that loan is repaid, we then split that 10%, put it 5 and 5. In the end, you end up with a 30-70 split. But one thing that would be really beneficial for this is if we did do that loan amount and we just built the loan payment into the agreement, we know we're gonna be able to exceed our capital on either side, and it doesn't hurt our current resources, and it gets the problem addressed before it really starts negatively affecting the reputation of the campground facility. Net would be anything that's, you know, just your standard yearly operating costs for the RV park. This is your water, power, trash. All those type of details could be identified in the lease information. And, you know, we've yet to present this actual proposal to the board. They were interested in something. You guys were interested in something. Your current recommendation in front of you is to direct the port manager Dillinger to start negotiating some form of a lease. If this looks like something you might be interested in, I would support that type of motion. We're just really at the beginning stages of this information. This is just kind of an outline so you guys know where our funding comes from and what type of a thing we might be able to help with when it comes to this type of stuff.
So Josh, can you just explain, so this addresses a lot of getting the park up to speed with getting the restrooms rebuilt and getting it graveled and paved and sites better identified with ADA picnic tables, but what about the day-to-day maintenance? Who does the day-to-day maintenance?
So day-to-day maintenance, virtually all park operations in this lease would come to Curry County Parks. It would be our responsibility. So your day-to-day maintenance of, you know, picking up the trash, moving trash from one spot to the next, or checking campers in, we would absorb whatever your guys' current process is, and we'd look to try and match as best we can with our current processes. But we would virtually take over operating and running the entirety of the park due to this agreement, which frees up your staff time to focus on more court stuff, and it allows us to do more of a focused, purely directional campground running thing, which is what we kind of specialize in. You know, other things like net and everything like that, things that I expressed to Mr. Dillinger that I'm not considering net is little repairs here and there. Anytime we need to replace a breaker on one of the RV parks, we're not going to add that into the net total or anything like that. So, you know, you'd have a cost savings from that type of stuff. We just absorb that because it's something we already pay for in all of our parks that we're doing anyways. And we have other suppliers and everything like that that might be people you guys don't normally use that we get different rates for.
What the lease basically would do would in effect say, hey Port, this is your property, it's your campground, let us run it for you. You don't have to touch it, you don't have to do anything, but we're going to give you 70% of the proceeds.
Essentially.
I have a question. So we're on the cusp right now of developing a master plan for the park. That's been placed on hold pending this discussion. If we entered into this lease, would you then take over the development of a master plan and future development, things that we'd looked at and including here?
Yeah, so if we took over it, we could work that out either way you guys want to do it. My general idea is if you put a lease in place to where you're partnering with somebody, you got to keep open lines of communication through the entirety of the lease. It's one of those things, if it's a 30-year, 20-year lease, it doesn't really matter. The idea is it's going to be a lease that stands the test of time because everything's mutually beneficial and everyone's benefiting from it. So with that type of mentality, we would be looking to see what you guys have been working on for your master plan, maybe tweak some of it type of a thing, depending on what our experiences are, because we run RV parks, we track the trends of what our recreational users really want, and like kind of try to match things to what the state's wanting for the different grant projects. But my plan would be to work together on any sort of master plan. It's still your guys' facility. You obviously will maintain a say in that type of planning, but you know, if you guys had something on your master plan that you really wanted and I couldn't come up with a convincing argument of why not to include it, then it could, I mean, it's on the master plan. That's kind of the idea. But if I did have a reason why maybe we don't put that as such a high priority because doing this increases our revenues greater, increases visitorship, you know, that's the kind of give and take that you get from the partnership.
So if, let's just talk hypothetically for a minute. If we looked at a master plan that included, let's say, $2 million worth of improvements, would the expectation be that we apply for grants and pay for that? Would you apply for the grants and then adjust the share amount to help pay that off? How would you do that?
We would apply for the grants for that. We would take over pretty much whatever the matching is for that. The idea is we're developing this property not with the mindset that we're putting a bunch of money in that 20 years from now the lease is going to be broken and we're done. We're putting money in because the idea is the lease is going to stand forever as long as we're all doing mutually beneficial and keeping that going. So when it comes to, like I talked about, doing a facelift, we've got grants coming up in the next year and next cycle. That's all stuff that we would be budgeting for on our side. We'd coordinate with you guys to make sure that you're okay with us. Okay. Because a lot of it is we got to learn the property. You can walk out there and say, oh yeah, this would be great right here, and then you find out that's under 3 feet of water every winter, and you're like, oh well, there's a reason that's not like that. So you got to keep that open communication when you are doing this planning. But if we're looking at replacing picnic tables, all this type of stuff, or even expanding out or retrofitting some campsites into a different type of use, whether that's adding a yurt site in some area as opposed to a tent site, that's all on us to kind of fund and do, because you know that's why the longer the lease, the 30-year cost recovery type thing, because we are going to put in money to this at least 25% match of whatever we do. And in the future, if there's mutually beneficial things that we could add that the port's like, yeah, we could donate parts of that money too, that's fine. That would be great, but I don't think the expectation would be that you guys kick in that type of income and share on every single project that we plan to do. It'd be us out there promoting and doing that work.
Okay, so I want to make sure I get this
yeah.
firmly established. So let's say that in the master plan, we completely redo the electrical system, put in 50-amp circuits at all the sites. We want to build a laundromat and a store combination sort of thing, and maybe some accommodations like yurts. Mm. You're paying for that.
As much of that as we can get done. It's one of those things, when you're talking about a master planning, and you're like, oh, we've got all this stuff, and you look at like, oh, we have a $2 million master plan, it's built in stages. You gotta make the priority list. Is the laundromat a priority as opposed to yurt sites? Well, the laundromat will make this amount of dollars, yurt sites at 150 bucks a pop are gonna make this amount of income. Okay, you put in the yurt sites because that's gonna give you more revenue for the next round of match to put in for the laundromat. The idea for our county park system is we're self-sufficient, but we spend what we make because we want to, A, maintain our self-sufficiency, and B, provide the public the greatest service we can do it. So when we're talking about master planning, it might take you 5 to 10 years to finish a master plan. Most master plans are made with the idea of being, it's a crooked ad with this, but the idea of being like a 20 to 30 year living document. So just because the master plan shows $2 million of work being done, when you spread that out over, you know, 10 year time periods, and a lot of it just depends on visitor use. If there's a low year, you may not do one of the grant projects. If the next year you end up in a banner year for your park system and you get a lot of stuff, you may be able to do two of your projects in the same grant. It just kind of depends on how the resources come in. But yeah, I don't think the expectation would be that you guys are on the hook for any sort of upgrades like that that we would look to do anyways.
We would make sure the lease is very clear on that, because if we're actually contracting with you basically to run and develop this, we expect that we're bearing the cost of running and developing it. So, and we make the lease, like I said, very clear on it. See, the difference is, like Josh was saying earlier, it's in our mind easier for us to develop that because we're eligible to get monies that the port is not eligible to get. You're in the port business. Josh is actually in the RV park business, in the campground business. Campground business. So he just has access to more, as a county department, more to resources. The county is also doing something right now, and it hasn't brought in a lot of money yet, but as properties are sold in the county, they'll be diverted to Josh's department to roll back into improving the campgrounds and RV parks that Josh is responsible for. So right now we have two county parks. We have Lobster Creek, which we're not investing a lot of money in right now. Boyce County Park, which Josh did a lot of upgrades up there, redid the bathroom and some electrical, I believe, with Josh. And that's it. So, you know, he's, like you said earlier, he's a self-sufficient fund. He doesn't rely on taxpayer dollars to operate his programs. So what money he gets, he just keeps rolling back over into improving. Right now, the county is looking at taking on a what we call a string of pearls, or some campgrounds along the Elk River. They're more of the rustic style campgrounds. We're looking at taking that over, and then also working with the city of Brookings to do the Social Security Bar campground. So we're really looking, for us, we want to expand our park system because we know it makes money. The problem is when you make that money, you can only roll it back into campgrounds. And when you only have two campgrounds, you're gonna have some pretty lavish campgrounds, or you try and reach deals where you can help and make sure all the campgrounds are in good shape. So I assure you that this probably sounds too good to be true. But
what I'm thinking.
Yeah, but it's really not. It's really not. Josh is very talented. He's very good at what he does. He's one of those people who knows how to make money on the campgrounds. And from the county's perspective, we realize the potential of the port and the tourism value of it and the economic development value, and we want to help get your campground up to speed as well as the rest of the port, so you can start turning a profit, so our visitors have more places to go and more to do, so overall the entire community starts seeing more income coming in.
Additionally,
so the lease would be to establish years, right?
The lease will cover everything.
But then the revenue sharing is where the dollars are going to be coming to the port.
Right, so the lease would say, for example, this is a 20-year lease, the county is responsible for development according to the plan or whatever. This is the financial arrangement, they will get 70%, et cetera, and it'll discuss, it'll cover when those payments are made, are they made monthly, are they made quarterly, who's responsible for insurance.
And other fees?
Yeah. It would cover everything, and you know, you'd want your attorney to look at it. I will say this, we would start with the draft contract because Josh has them from other areas. So we'd start with that, and then we just go back and forth until we have a contract that we're both satisfied with.
Sure. What happens to the lodging tax? Is that goes away if you guys get a lease, or is that still being paid to the port?
That goes away.
It goes away, okay.
We're not a taxable entity.
That's a public nice. Incentive.
Well, I just didn't know if, since we're still a landlord, if that still applied or not.
So. No, the idea would be since you guys are the landlord, but we're the leaseholder, it's kind of different than being a leaseholder of like an apartment. You know, we have responsibility of that.
All right.
So you benefit by not having to charge more to cover that TLT tax, but you reap the benefits where those TLT dollars will come in and help improve things at the port.
So in this lease, then you would take over the fee schedules and developing all of those, what you're going to charge?
Yeah, and I wouldn't be looking to change your guys' fees, you know, Anything that we do as far as changing our fees on the county side, we have to have public fee hearings on. But also, all that type of stuff needs to run by your court manager and everything like that. And one thing that I always recommend we throw into these types of agreements is some sort of yearly check-in with your own board, just so everyone knows what's going on. And then we could distinguish out like how many times a year or anything like that we're checking in with the port manager to make sure that you know you guys aren't hearing any issues that we need to be hearing about so we can be addressing and vice versa. So all that type of stuff just comes back to the camaraderie partnership aspect of you know maintaining a good partnership relationship. So if you guys wanted to increase the fees, let us know. If you guys wanted to decrease the fees, let us know and we'll evaluate that. Additionally, we have a county parks and recreation advisory committee. That committee, like if you guys wanted to do something, has the ability to study that project, everything like that, whether it's fees, master planning, and make recommendations based on their own opinions. It's a citizen advisory group. So that gives us a lot of weight with the public when we're trying to do things like increase fees. It's not just coming from us or coming from the court. It's also coming from the citizen advisory committee that we have established in the county that anyone can apply for. I will add, I meant to add a little bit. One of the other big things that the county's looking at, it's not just expanding our campgrounds, it's expanding our presence throughout the county. We have presence in Warren County, we have presence in Central County, we don't have any presence in Southern Curry County. Basically, from Gold Beach down, people don't know there is even a county park system. It's kind of strange to me, but being involved in these types of projects down in the southern half of the county better serves our community, better serves our county, and really lets us get out there type of a thing for it.
Does Roy have any questions?
Do you have any questions, Roy?
I do not, Richard. It's a very, very, very good presentation. Very good. You're amazing. So thank you, Richard.
And could I ask you to mute your phone? And then if you want to talk, unmute it and talk to us. We're getting a lot of feedback from the phone.
Okay. Yep.
Thank you.
I have about 5 questions or 6 questions.
Okay.
How many RV parks do you currently run?
Currently, we have 2 campgrounds, one of which is a full RV park style, and the other one has RV spaces mixed in with its cabins and A-frames and all sorts of mixed-use buildings.
How many of these 7? We're limited to a 750K grant max, right?
It depends. Some of those grants go up to $1 million for property acquisition and a couple of other types of tiered systems, but on average, it's about $750,000.
Do you consider ours a property acquisition or just a lease on existing?
It'd just be a lease type
okay.
of thing.
How many current employees do you have and what would you do like we have a full-time person dedicated to the one full-time, I know, and then how many?
And a part-time.
So how would you handle employees?
So currently, the Curry County Parks Department is myself, one full-time employee, handling most of the things for both campgrounds. We do have access to the county to assistance and everything like that. Our campgrounds, our camp hosts provide a lot of the work. Moving forward, we've already been talking with the board because I've already got the funding in place to hire additional staff for our county parks department. It's not lost on anyone as these agreements get in place or as these developments come into being, we're going to be increasing our staff. So with this type of development, I would move forward with at least getting another full-time employee on site. And we've talked about doing satellite offices too, because our main office is in Brookings, or not Brookings, it's in Gold Beach. But part of the thing is with satellite office in Brookings, it'll allow us to have a home base here for when we're doing things. As it currently stands, I live a few miles away in Brookings myself. So when it comes to issues that come up at the campground or anything like that, any kind of time of the day, I have a greater, it's easier for me to respond to your campground than Boyce Cove, which is all the way at the northern part of the county type of a thing. But we are planning to expand our camp, our employment staff in general, but we do have staff available to the county.
If we were to enter an agreement with you, how long would it take reasonably to get it, obtain a grant?
It depends on the grant things. We've already missed the cycle for the opportunity grant, so that one's not coming back for 2 years. It's every 2 year. And I believe the grant cycle for, we missed that first one because it was October 1st. But the grant cycle for the limited local government grant comes up every year. So it'd be a year from now before we were able to kick in for that grant. And then it's about an 18-month process between the presentations, giving things like that. So any sort of grant type of stuff like that through the Oregon State Park system we normally use, you're probably looking at about 2 years at the minimum. There are many other grants out there that we can apply for. Then there's going to be TLT money that we can apply for or other things. And additional grants that we don't normally apply for, but we would apply for your port, just kind of tracking those types of things.
Wouldn't you have to have a master grant that funds whatever we want to fund with our agreement in place before you tried to get these other smaller grants? Am I correct in assuming the other grants are smaller ones?
No. So for like the larger grant, like if we wanted to come in and do like a complete facelift of the port and put in $750,000 of infrastructure, there's no requirement saying that you have to have this type of thing. Normally they have a section in their grant that says, how does this match up with your master plan? But they also have grants for master planning. So you can use a grant to build one. And in those sections, you just explain how it matches up with whatever your old planning is, whatever your current planning is, or you explain that as part of this process in this grant, we're working towards our master plan currently, and there's a way to get the points for that section without actually having to have that document living and done. But we are able to just apply for these grants as we go.
And I just want to interject too, although you're waiting on the grants, there are some stuff that we're ready to move with now. For example, rebuilding the restrooms.
Yes.
That one, Josh has already had conversations with the road department about how much we could borrow, what it would take to get that facility going. So that is something that he would, if we, depending when we finalize the lease, if that happened this winter, Josh would be working on that this winter to try and have that done come spring.
Yeah, we'd be looking to get that done as quickly as possible. And then we have other funds available to us that, you know, one of the nice things is we do have a road department and they specialize in, you know, roads and everything like that. So it's nice to be able to be like, hey, roadmaster, can you meet me out here and give me just the ballpark of how much it might cost to get this regraded or something like that? Hitting on those numbers, like, all right, cool. When can you schedule that? And, you know, they're down here doing stuff all the time. They've got rock pits right up the road type of a thing. And it just streamlines a lot of that type of just basic facility maintenance that would normally be contracted out to other engineering firms type of thing.
How long do you think it would take to put together a draft agreement?
A couple weeks. Realistically, it depends on our county council's schedule for one. And then just, I'm going to need to take this back to our board itself to do like more of a formalized, okay, yes, they're interested, we're interested, here's the direction you guys need, similar to what your current staff is asking for, to make sure that everyone's on the same page with moving forward to this. But, you know, the wording isn't that big of a deal. It's more the nits, the details that go through it.
So we are, our board is meeting November 6th. So the earliest we could present a draft would be November 7th.
And our next meeting is November
19th.
19th.
Okay.
I personally don't see where there's a, this is time sensitive. If it's going to take 2 years or 18 months, 2 years. So what I would be more interested in seeing is we have a working group of possibly two commissioners and Gary and Kim. Gary thought that was necessary to work with you in creating the draft proposal.
Sure.
And if it takes 60 days, I could care less on that end of it.
Sure.
That's what I would be more interested in doing.
Yeah, and we're not in a hurry either. We just want to help you.
Okay.
You know, the message is pretty clear at our workshop that, hey, we can help the port. Let's get down there and help them. The other thing is we would want to make sure that we were able to get the bathroom done before your busy season started. We wouldn't want to be doing construction while you have people staying here. So that would be the only push to get it done sooner than later.
And to get the restroom, it's 100 days
right. For
delivery.
But we're going to hear more information on our restroom shortly, and that's going to be part of our master plan. So one way or the other, we're still dealing with the restroom. I don't think it's essential that we have this contract in place, if that's what we choose to do, before we continue looking into our restroom.
But just so you know, we can't legally pay something retroactive. So if you go ahead and you order the restroom and you put it out there and you say, okay, Coney, now we want to do this lease and here's a bill for the restroom, we can't do that. Legally, it would have to be the expenses we incurred after we signed that lease.
And the restroom, since we've already approved like a restroom and a design and everything, would you like be working with that idea or?
Yes, and my understanding is, Josh, you've already talked to Gary about that.
Yeah, you guys are going through CXD, which would generally be who we'd go for the prefab.
But
type
they were
going
to put up a seawall, and I mean, there was some other things that were attached to it.
I talked to Gary about, or sorry, Mr. Dillinger, about different cost that you guys kind of estimating what your thing, and the idea would be that you guys have already done the legwork on this, you know what you want, he knows the facility, he knows what it needs, kind of like what I mentioned before, we don't want to put something in that's just going to get washed
out. Well, because of our ocean
issues. So we would look to just be coming in to cover the cost of what you guys already have. Basically, I just review to make sure that, you know, there's nothing weird or out of the ordinary type of a thing, but the work for the restroom, as far as what you guys plan, would still be the plan moving forward.
And anything that the improvements Josh would do, grading and stuff, he's not going to come back to you for, but if it's building, I don't know, a fence or something, he would always come back to the board just to make sure you're okay, because it's still your land. You know, we still want to make sure you're okay with the permanent improvements that are going on there.
And Gary, on the sediment that you were going to put down in the RV park and around, is that?
I would postpone that.
Okay.
Any other questions for them?
I'll make a motion.
Oh, not yet. How about some board discussion about this? What do you think?
Do you want us to take a seat while you do that?
Sure. Okay.
I think we need more information as far as your negotiations and where it's going. And
I'm talking more about the concept.
The concept? Okay.
I mean, this is, let's call it what it is. If we do this, it's a pretty monumental decision for us to make.
Exactly.
So, you know, I would want everybody to be pretty comfortable with the idea of doing it.
I have no problem conceptually exploring the the opportunity. There was no commitment. We're going to explore the lease. If we like it, they like it, then we'll accept it. Because it is a 30, 40 year commitment.
Exactly.
That's going to affect this port for
exactly.
you know, our lifetimes.
I guess the only thing I'm somewhat conflicted on, and maybe I'll save my comments for after we have the presentation on the seawall, is that, I'll make them now. I'm not sure that's something that I would put on the county to do. I mean, it's a device to protect our property and protect the investment that's going to be made there at the port. So that's just kind of the way I think about it.
I think that would be part of the discussion we would have with them as to, you know, I don't even know what the cost of the seawall is yet. So, and until we have those numbers, which we may get, but that would be part of our discussion in creating a lease. Okay. We have to have a master plan. That seawall is definitely part of a master plan down there on
maybe
that property.
Maybe it could be a split.
Well, we can see about that. I just conceptually, okay. I'm a little troubled by that. But not that I'm opposed to it.
Just so everyone's aware, if there was some sort of split type of thing, as Ms. Hartung has brought up, the grants that like the county can apply for can be used with other jurisdictions to match funds for that. So there would still be funding available to do that type of thing if we got to that. Just throwing that out.
Okay, yeah, we're talking about the seawall.
Yeah. You know, it was something like you guys wanted to pay X amount, we wanted to pay X amount. We could still put grant money towards those types of things.
Okay.
Anything else?
No.
You're ready for a motion?
Sure. Is Roy still there? Or is
Roy, do you have any comment?
He's got to unmute.
Unmute your phone.
He muted it.
Oh,
now he can't hear.
Hey, you hear me, Richard?
Yes, sir.
My motion would be create a draft contract with a working group, which would include two of our commissioners, our port manager, and if he feels, you know, Travis or Kim or Danielle, and have them involved in it too, to meet with the county representatives and as soon as possible or convenient, and we'll start work on it. And the second portion of that would be, as Gary has recommended, cancel the loan request and construction drawings for the new restroom building and the five pull-out sites.
So just a clarification question, would it be your intent, if this goes well, to bring that contract to our next regular meeting, if we can agree at that time?
No.
No?
Following Gary's recommendation, we cancel the Umpqua loan request.
I'm talking about that second,
on the first.
About the lease.
If we knock out the draft in time, yes.
Okay.
That would be the convenience of the two groups to get together.
Yeah, and the lawyers. I mean, it may or may not happen. At worst, we just have another meeting in December, or a special meeting to take care of it.
The reason I asked that is, for my preference, I would like to do this at a regular meeting, and hopefully have some attendance, and hopefully we could even get the pilot to come and cover that, if nothing else, so that the public's very clear on what we're doing, and there's no, I mean, they're gonna wake up someday and go, wait a minute, what happened here? So that's just why I asked the question. Okay, so we have a motion on the table by Kent.
I second it.
I have a second by Joe. Any discussion further?
Is Roy, is he clear on the motion?
Did you hear the motion, Roy?
Yes, I do, Richard. I'm very clear on it. Very clear.
All right. Gary, would you roll call, please?
Ken.
Yes.
Roy?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, Gary, I'm going to work.
Okay. Thank you, Roy.
Okay, I'm going to work. I got people waiting on me.
Tell me you said hang on.
I just hung up.
You did hang up.
All right.
Oh, boy.
So that brings us to action item B. This is the RV park conceptual reconstruction review. So, Mr. Clay.
It's actually Crow.
Crow.
Sorry. Crow.
Wasn't exactly sure where we were going to be today, depending on what they were going to do, what you were going to do. I've met with Gary a couple of times, and you know, we have the restroom five pull-through site plan, but that sounds like it just got canceled, so I don't think there's much point in talking about that right now.
Or at least postpone.
Actually, I'd like to talk about it,
because yeah.
it's going to okay. be, we're not going to see you again before we meet with the county and discuss right. all of this.
Well, it's basically a very simple plan. This is a very small drawing because the site's very big, so I apologize. Here, I've done enough for everybody.
Thank you.
And it basically shows the proposed restroom site, the five pull-throughs, mm-hmm. and this is kind of a different phase here, but this is what we're really talking about. And I had scheduled my electrical engineer to come down and review the site today, so that's not going to happen because I canceled him because I didn't know whether we were going to be moving forward to this. So he's not down here. But we had planned on doing those items, the pull-through sites, the prefab restroom pad preparation, the walkway that runs by the restrooms, and then upgrading all of the RV site electrical. That was our plan. And we basically kind of just put ourselves on hold because I knew this was coming up. So is there any questions you have on how we might proceed with that? We can do it very quickly, but at the same time, I want to be sure that it works for the port.
Is this prefab restroom the same one
yes,
we were discussing?
Yes, it's the one that Gary gave me.
Okay.
Yeah, what he's going to be doing is getting the foundation construction drawings
right.
and stamping it and have the specs so we can put it out to bid. Or maybe the county might be doing some of the work.
Right.
Yeah, Travis, you're going to give one of those to Josh.
And that's really as far as we've gotten. We took the time to work off the old survey, and we now have this in AutoCAD, so we can make that available to the county as well, so that they've got an accurate site plan to work from. And then the other thing that Gary wanted me to chat about today was if the master plan moves forward, then we brought some samples of some stuff on, mini marts and hotel rooms and all of that kind of stuff. And I don't know whether you want to get into that today or not. That's up to you guys.
I'll leave it up to the board.
I'm open. No, thank you. It's too early.
You're here. I'd like to hear it personally.
Okay. Well, I think the request was, do you have anything you can show us of projects that you worked on before? And I did bring some, and I apologize, I don't have the small drawings, I just brought the big stuff. This is the registration and activities building we did for the Port of Newport, which included a laundromat and a large activity center, and then their registration area. And I've left these here, I don't know if you guys have had a chance, I actually gave each to Gary.
Let me interrupt you for
sure.
A minute. Do you have the PowerPoint thing here? I have a flash drive that shows every one of his restrooms at the...
Oh.
Yeah, just
I
take a minute.
The Mill Creek Casino, I have Winchester Bay, I have... there's something else on there.
Yeah, this, like you said, we did the Mill Casino RV Park, its registration building and the park itself. We worked for the Port of Newport on their RV park. on Winchester Bay. We actually built that from scratch, their RV park. And that's a very successful RV park. I'm proud of that.
It's all really well. Exceptional.
The Ready Rancheria Mini Mart, we've worked on that. And so that was part of the genesis of one of my questions about, you know, do you want walk-in coolers, or do you want reach-in coolers, or do you want a walk-in freezer, or, and those are operational considerations, and we can put any of them in. Or we can simply leave it out and set the building up so that they can add either later on. So we have that opportunity.
I get worked.
My forte, so I'm glad somebody else was doing it.
If I'd have known you wanted it, I would have come prepared.
Well,
reflection, I wasn't sure where we were headed today.
Reflection of my age, when I took out of visitor class, it was to learn how to rewind the film on a film caster the right way. So.
Well, I'm the old school guy in our office. I'm the only one that still drafts by hand. Everybody else is on AutoCAD. So I do the hand design and hand it off.
Yeah, I need a laptop.
You want the lights off?
No, I'm going to need a laptop. I tried doing a USB from this thing, and the laptop is going to work.
No file.
Yeah. Want me to round up the laptop?
Pardon me?
Want me to round up the laptop?
Do we want to take that much time?
I don't care. Take a break. Go and move on to C if you want, and then come back to B. Is it going to take that long?
No. Yeah. A few minutes. It's cool. I need to go to my office to get a laptop.
Okay. Why don't we just recess for 10 minutes and okay. We'll
so adjourn?
Adjourn. Well, we'll spend.
For the recorder.
All right, so here's your hand, put it off.
Yeah, take a break. So do you remember going over to the little town tavern in Burnsville?
That was the community center, the laundromat combo, and then it's got the portable restroom that was put in there. But that's not apples and apples, that's a little tiny one. And then it's got the Indian casino, Mill Creek casino,
the
Mill Hotel casino. Yeah, Mill Hotel casino.
Yeah, good, right.
So,
okay, that's fine.
So, that's fine. I can talk about all of so,
yeah, because you
know,
yeah,
I'm familiar with all of them.
You see that the historic view has been true.
And the only reason.
And if this is one way we can
bias
help,
becomes,
at least because now you're not spending time on
oh, this part of it. Okay. Yeah, all the ones we've done, in fact, I haven't really done a portable one yet. I can do the pad. I don't know all about that, but we've never used a portable one. In fact, we've always put it in part.
Yeah.
It just not the same.
I look at the tape down here, and I think, man, you know, I can't think of too many places that I've seen that have that.
I think it just got canceled.
He's got notice.
Yeah.
Just one of those things. The bones are there. It's a taste.
So you work on the Mill Street. You work on the Mill Street Casino.
We were just talking.
The Mill Hotel Casino. Yeah. Worked in. Yeah. We were the firm converted that old plywood mill into a casino.
No, I did the. I was consulting to some plywood guys.
Okay.
So when Indian tribes took it over, I did was give it a little. Waste materials, worked out getting rid of the asbestos stack that was in there, and just developed that page.
Then when I got out of the, you know, busy doing something else, because I was done with that job. I looked over and I saw a bunch of steel studs on the north end of the north side of the wall. It was cool, but I wondered what happened to the transit, because it was so.
And I, that was the, you know, I actually ended up in the corridor. I didn't, but Bruce did. Bruce Anderson did.
I got brought in and testified. Maybe we saw each other, but the grand jury.
Yeah, well, it was in Portland. Yeah, I had to testify for that.
Both sides asked me to come up. It's really weird. So, and did you meet that attorney from DC and so on?
Yeah.
So, anyway, so after I basically said, I told him, I didn't think really Bruce knew what he was doing.
He was doing, you know, Bruce. It was kind of full ahead.
I know Bruce. He turned around and sued me about 3 months later.
Really?
He knew about my Harris Christian insurance.
Oh.
So he shot for it. They threw out of court.
Oh, that's good.
But it's the only time I've ever been sued in my entire career.
People with those lawyers are being by him.
Bruce was a funny guy. I worked for him. Adapters. Start with, and then he got on Alex McDrive, and I have worked at the casino longer than 84.
That's not surprising, but yeah, it's a good turn of
NASA. I'm sorry.
Where do you want to be? I pretty much disbanded.
You want me to rank her?
They were in Lone Rock Tower.
Sure, are you for the meeting?
I'm going to be.
Okay, then we'll just wait until we're done and if we can.
My brothers.
Perfect.
First thing I did was do an assessment, phase one assessment on that. That was the 91.
I guess that's what's
going to make a large phone call.
One of our things that we're running into is all the park systems are running into. We'll drive a 60-foot motor home with a 12-foot trailer hooked onto the back with like.
Yeah, this would be a port.
Nobody can accommodate. Why would you do this? These are like the shared things that we used to all love.
Would you call Matt? I think it's
more focused management. It is our core.
Anybody know that I'm going to see their public mail? I think because this is what that makes longer.
Just a large increase in revenue.
Yeah,
I think it'll probably be more than 11:30 or a little after. I thought I would use it until about
11:30.
Traditionally, the trend is 11:30 or a little later.
We have things being added.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, and I think once we do, you know, get it up to speed and then do some promotions and some press releases and ads that talk about the differences and how it's been upgraded. Anyone that has been here in the past, maybe didn't have it, hopefully they'll come back and give it another chance. So.
Well, I'm with you up there. It's like, we kind of know what upgrades to do that would use up other people's money. If we start changing things out to make sure everything's up to ADA standards, that goes up to federal pools of money and different grants we'll be able to do. These are the type of things that when you're in the business, you're like, okay, if we're going to do it, let's do it to this standard so that we can actually get increased revenues coming in from these sources.
I'll just tell you, Ken, one of my concerns was the financial state of Curry County.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought,
that's why I lead with we're not tax. Anytime I have these conversations, I'm very quick that we are not relying on taxes.
We do have some, you know, Curry County does have some issues, but there are some departments that don't rely on that general fund that are doing excellent. Economic development doesn't rely on it. They get lottery funds. Josh uses the parks funds. I'm hoping to get our building safety department there because usually a building safety department is self-sufficient. Some poor management in the past. And that's where we're rebuilding that. Roads is self-sufficient for the most part. I mean, they've got money. We're actually going to be reaching out to the fairgrounds to see if we can help them because they're struggling. And again, running it through a park type organization or park type system is up to different money and hopefully gets it to that point where that too can be self-sufficient.
Well, and that's kind of the thing. This new RV system is so well thought out of that funding source for
nothing ever plugs in easy.
Yes.
Oh, that's long, but it's just 60
miles. Is Danielle here today?
No, she's not here.
So she's not here? She's making the art.
So that if you do
have to go
Sioux Falls by code for the kids from school.
That's huge. But you know you still have the money.
Where is? There it is.
Understand what you're saying, but not all of it.
Well, what she was saying is that we should look at.
That's the thing. How long will it take before?
Gary gives us this, but the breakdown, there's really, just totals, but for what? Okay, this was, it says it's profit, but yet there's expense.
Actually, this should, the income should be here, profit should be over here.
Because you have your net. Well, your income, profits always after everything else.
Correct.
At least that's what I'm
looking at. That's right, because you have to take the expenses off to have profit.
Yeah, so here, this is the expense here.
So you should have said income.
And this is for, this is a budget. This is from budget. This just, 2020 hasn't even happened yet, so we don't even know. If it's going to be a while, before the restroom, is getting put off again because we're negotiating and looking into something else. But now they've taken the porta potties away over there. There's none. And they were told they could get it. They could possibly do this call and ask for an extension. They could have one longer. So I think we need to supply our public with that. I mentioned it, but evidently it falls on the trees.
Okay, we'll call the meeting back to order. We have now got the proper technology in place, so here we go.
Let's see, how do we progress this thing, Gary? Where are you progressing?
I can sit here and hit the four buttons.
He's going to be the operator.
All right. Well, this is Winchester Bay, Salmon Harbor, RV Park, restroom facility, and we actually built small laundries in each of the restrooms. So there's several of those on the site. And the architectural style was developed basically with the Winchester Bay people, and they wanted the river stone, and so they got river stone. Go ahead, Gary. This looks like the inside of the. I'm drawing a blank. Oh, there we go. The inside of the laundry facility area, and we did. These are small units placed in several locations on the site because the site was big enough that we wanted to get them within reach of so they were within easy walking distance of the individual using them. In the restroom facilities. And those are developed with the idea of being able to clean easily. And, I think the benches are the rubber, the plastic laminate partitions, tile floors. Did you get the activity center too?
Pardon me?
Did you get the activity center as well? Because we just finished
the
activity
center.
No, we didn't
do the activity center.
And that a lot of the RV parks are putting activity centers in because they get a cluster of RV people coming and they'll rent the stuff. I know that the Mill Casino, we just put a yurt in there and they use that for part of their activity. And then they actually did a separate building up in Winchester Bay and also at Newport. Again, these are just facilities that we put in to make it agreeable to the public.
That's the drop-in at Winchester Bay.
Yeah. That was the prefab one there.
A small one.
Yeah. And these are all just pieces of those, that facility. I think they're expanding on the north end of that spit now. This is the restroom facility. There's a men's and women's side, obviously, and this is the most, right, the women's side right now at the one at the Mill Casino in North Bend. And again, we work with them. They are ADA accessible. There is a laundry facility attached to the restrooms, and it's also part of the registration building. And they do have plans for these here as well. That was an exposed aggregate floor in there. Granite countertops seem to work better than the plastic laminate over time by far. Laundry facility was on the north end of this. The registration is on the south end. That's the registration piece. Proverbial, let's sell some snacks. That's what they use for the meetings.
Do you know what the capacity is? I guess 40, 50?
I think it's somewhere in there. We did a code review on it. I don't remember right now what it was, but that's about right. It
was she told me that was $30,000 for just the basic structure.
Yeah. And did you talk with the RV park people there or with Richard?
With the manager at the RV park.
Okay. Yeah.
But it's pretty nice facility.
How did those hold up with the ocean?
Sorry?
How do they hold up with ocean winds right on the beaches like that?
Well, this one is on the bay, so it's not exposed to winter storm winds.
They have two small ones in Gold Beach that are at that ocean side.
I think Bassendorf may have one now, too.
Hmm. I'm sorry?
I think Bassendorf Park has one now, which is on the bluff overlooking Bassendorf Beach in Goose Bay. You lost me there. I don't know what that's a picture of.
Oh, that's okay. The sand filter that's at the Mill Creek. They take, they empty that sand filter, because I asked about sand going into the system,
right,
in the laundromat, and that cover lifts up, and then there's three petitions in that sand filter, apparently, and the guy there cleaned it out once a week, about 25 pounds, 25 buckets of sand.
And obviously, if we a laundromat down here, you're going to need to have something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Probably bigger.
Yeah. Well, that one apparently would be adequate. You just have to clean it more frequently.
Right. Well, we should actually size it based on what we find.
Well, that's the Mill Creek, and they have 8 washers, I believe it is, and 16 dryers.
You're saying Mill Creek, you mean the Mill Hotel Casino?
Yeah,
right?
Mill Hotel.
Yeah,
not, I'm sorry.
Okay, any questions?
We've also done similar facilities at the Port of Newport. There was a mini mart there that we upgraded and redid. We did a mini mart for Redding Rancheria over in Redding. I'll leave those drawings here. You can look at them, but I'm happy to answer any questions you have about them.
Well, I just have a comment. I've had the opportunity to use the facility at Winchester Bay for meetings, the one you built.
Oh, the Activity Center, yeah.
Man, if we had something like that here.
It's a dynamite.
So imagine a big room, nicely appointed, and then hooked onto that is an outside area. It's a patio that's covered and has curtains that can go around it. So you can have a facility that you can have your meeting inside, go outside to eat. It's just, I mean, it's a great, great place. If you haven't seen it, I urge you to go look at it if you can.
Josh, do you get much call for the RV park in these areas?
In this location, absolutely. One thing you find on Loading Coast is a place like Gold Beach may not be as good for a meeting area, especially one that has an outdoor space because of the high winds. Right. Being in this located cove here, you don't have that issue. It's such an issue. So this is definitely one of those spots that would be very conducive to any sort of large gathering and things like that. And what you end up having is conferences come here with their RVs.
Right.
it just provides another avenue for events and everything like that.
One of the other items that was brought up was putting, you know, if we did a mini market laundromat facility, putting a something similar to a motel unit on the second floor. We do have experience in the motel units. I actually brought down the floor plan for the units we put in at the Gold Beach Resort Inn. That was actually one of my first jobs a long time ago. And then we just, a few years ago, actually I guess it's been 8 years ago now, completed the hotel for the Mill Hotel Casino. And that's a much bigger facility, but the hotel units are actually pretty small and would work on that type of facility. And so I brought down some copies of those as well to be able to look at.
You've got on this drawing, these are both prefab restrooms. What is the life expectancy of one of those prefabs? That Winchester Bay facility, that's 18 years old. It looked like it was built yesterday.
Are you talking about the hand-built ones?
The hand-built versus...
And I'll have to admit, I have way more experience with the hand-built than I do the prefab. I have very little experience with the prefab.
What would it cost if you wanted to build that same facility you have at Winchester Bay that we just saw the pictures of? What would that kind of a facility cost in today's market?
Well, let's see, those are probably, I don't know, 35, 40 feet long and 15, 20 feet wide. So let's say it's 20 by 30 is 600 square feet. You're gonna probably spend around $300 a square foot.
$300 a square foot to build a bathroom. Build a house for $250.
Yeah, but that's absolutely. You're building the most expensive part of that house when you do a restroom.
Joe, that building also includes the laundromat, the showers, and the restroom. All three in one unit.
And you're putting all the plumbing and electrical that you would get in a house in that spot. And I don't disagree with you. It's cheaper to build a house than it is a restroom.
I disagree with you 100%. I've built plenty of houses, and I know where the most expensive spots are on them. It's cabinetry and stuff like that.
Well, we've got cabinetry in the restrooms. We've got the countertops. We build them to be durable. I won't do plastic laminate countertops in those. They just won't hold up. The either the phenolic or the hard plastic toilet partitions are the best. They're not the cheapest. The metal are the cheapest, but I wouldn't do those. They won't hold up.
The other issue that always creeps into this is when you're a public agency and you have to build ADA standards, then you have more expense.
Different codes.
Have to do things differently. I mean, it's not a bad thing, but that's just the reality of what happened.
We just bid a small community building for the Confederate tribes of the Coosa-Loranca, Sioux Salt Indians in Coos Bay, and that was included two restrooms, four offices, an activity area, and a kitchen, a utility room, and a storage room. And I don't remember the size, but I know it came in around $300 a square foot, and they were surprised, but that's good. And you said in today's market, right now, construction costs are way up, in my opinion. We can't find contractors to do anything right now. It's a very aggressive market right now. And we can get the generals that want to bid it, and they can't get subs. We're doing a couple fire restorations right now, and they're sitting begging because we can't get plumbers and electricians in.
Okay, anything further? Thank you.
I that wasn't a very inspired last closing argument, but you're not proposing to do it right this second anyway. You've got some planning to do and some of that kind of stuff.
I would ask one more thing. Can you put together, we're gonna be meeting with Josh and Julie. I would like to you just gave us a figure of $300 a square foot. But if you have something more refined, that's something, a project you've done that is similar to the Winchester Bay, I would like to have that compared to the drop-in.
Okay, I can do that.
That's very easy.
To me, it's, you're not even looking at apples and apples.
No, they're different critters altogether.
Yeah, and one's going to be there, looks, has a much greater appearance. It is much more functional. If you've got that laundromat and restroom and shower all in one unit, instead of building 3 times the walls and all that, you've got it all in one nice, clean
We keep records on all of our projects. I'd be happy to provide that. That's
okay.
No problem.
I would appreciate that, and the sooner you can get it to us, we're going to be coming up with some tentative dates here shortly. So
right. I can get it to you first next week. Shouldn't be a problem.
Thank you very much.
All right. Anything else?
So we have a recommended action here on this item. So would somebody like to make a motion?
Okay. So I'll make a motion that if the board accepts the county plan for the RV park, a motion to cancel the development of the RV park conceptual drawings for the reconfiguration of the entrance and the new RV park office, laundromat, restroom, mini mart, and hotel type rooms. At this time. And what do you want? Should we add something else?
No. My comment is that we don't need to do this yet.
That's right.
We're going to have another meeting, one with more discussion on the agreement with the county. At that time would be the appropriate time, I would think.
So we have a motion. Let's see if we can get a second.
It just says that, yeah.
Anybody second that motion?
Died.
Okay, hearing none, it dies for lack of a second. You want to make another motion?
What do you suggest, Ken?
I'll make a motion that we continue this till our next meeting for a decision.
Okay.
I second that.
Okay, so we have a second by Joe. Any discussion about this?
Do you want Crow Clay to continue spending money pursuing stuff, or you want him to hold tight until further notice? I mean, it's
hold tight until further notice.
Okay.
I'll give the information that Ken requested, and that's it. I'll just sit on it.
Okay. I just want to make sure we're not spending any more money towards something we don't know what we're doing.
Okay. Right. So we have a motion and a second. Gary?
Ken?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. And we'll note that Roy is gone back to work.
Yeah.
Okay, action item C, seawall alternatives.
Thank you. I have a meeting to go to.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mike.
We have a presentation by Jack Aiken.
Hey, Jack. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Exactly sure what we're going to talk about today, but I have all of it, so it doesn't matter.
You need the projector? You want the projector?
No.
Okay.
No. Because I'm really going to quickly just bring up when we're talking about RV alternatives, retaining wall alternatives, I already sent you guys a narrative on this. I think you deliberated on it, discussed it, as far as I know. So the memo 818-2019-1 was obviously 818-19. I put forth to you guys a group of RV wall repair alternatives, and you guys, I think, reviewed it. At the time, I said, you know, rock wall seems easiest, but a close second is the H-pile timber slash timber type of configuration. Gave a general cost estimate. It seems to be, in light of some of the discussion you're having, that it may be that you might, utilizing, for example, a road department, you know, you might find it the cost reduced as far as being able to install this option. I really like your guys' decision to go with,
They actually haven't made a decision.
Oh, they haven't? Okay.
No, that was staff's recommendation.
I see, okay.
This is the first time we actually had an open discussion about
it. It is, okay.
Alternatives.
Okay, well then briefly then, you know, the options are kind of obvious. You have block wall, you have rock wall, you have sheet pile, you have H pile with concrete or timber. Hold on a second. Let me pull up my... And we're not talking today at all about anything else. You don't want to discuss any other field lock or anything. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so I went through spent a little bit more time on the design of this thing as far as utilizing what might be one of your easiest alternatives. And that is the H pile and different types of fillers between the H piles. I really like the lagging, wood lagging, because of its ease in terms of maintenance. And I'll describe that. What you do is you put in an H pile, let's say an 8-inch wide, maybe 45 pounds per foot type of an H pile. You bang that thing in about 2/3 of, in this case, a little bit more of your depth. You have it sitting up about 3-4 feet. You can utilize plank boards, and my beam analysis says that you can get away with. Again, my assumption is you've got a 5-foot wave breaking on it. That's a pretty decent conservative assumption. I don't think you've had that yet, but I did see a couple of rocks go all the way across. So I utilized a 5-foot wave as a point of analysis. And for an impact, you know, you got about 600, 800 pounds per lineal foot hitting the board. You can use a 4-inch by 10 by 12 by 10 foot wide board. That's easy, it's about 100 pounds. You guys will be able to fairly easily lift up a board like that. And if you want to move it, you can put rubber bumpers for protection of the public, and therefore you have options. If storm's coming, you can put in an extra plank, but if it's not, like for example in the summer, you can remove some of those boards and you'll have full visibility, so you won't get any complaints from folks as far as being able to see the ocean. So it kind of, the more I listened to it was like this before, rock, timber piles. As I started talking to Gary and Travis about some of the advantages and some of the concerns they had out there, it started going like this. And, you know, in terms of my opinion, there are a lot of advantages to going with an H pile with plank. You know, if you put in concrete, you have a lot of your shoring that you have around the port, you have concrete slabs between each piles. You'll notice that when you get a crack developed, and that can easily happen with an impact like I've seen, now you got the whole slab to replace. Here you just got some boards that you might have to replace. So then the key is to put an adequate rigidity in your H pile, so you know you don't have a lot of long-term maintenance and for deformation of the pile itself. Simple design. And so I would put forth that as a recommendation among the options. You guys, you guys have my report, I'm sure, somewhere, right?
Yep.
So I went through the general preliminary design routine on all of these, and they all have their advantages and disadvantages. But given the fact that you really can put this thing in even without removing the sidewalk. That's nice. Sidewalk costs money. It looks like it can dovetail pretty well into any master plan that you have for the rest of the RV park.
So I have a question for you. When you look at building oceanfront facility, are you giving consideration to potential sea rise issues? I mean, would you build things a little higher than maybe necessary to prepare for that?
Well, you can do that. Now, I will give you my opinion on that as far as sea rise. I've been measuring sea rises since about steadily every year, every quarter really, since 2009. I haven't seen even a quarter of an inch increase in sea rise at this point in our area. I'm not saying that it won't happen, but if it does happen, I don't expect it to be. The kinds of impact you would see are more storm surges. You know, if you have more energetic storms, which again we have not really seen, okay. But if we see more energetic storm surges, you want to somewhat be prepared for that. What that means in this case is to put your high wall. I have the H pile wall at 3 feet. If you want to put it at 5 feet, the disadvantage of putting it higher than you need is most of the time you're going to have these piles sticking out there. And so you're going to want to have rubber bumpers on there. You know, I've got ideas for rubber bumpers. You guys might have ideas for rubber bumpers. Protect the public, and it makes it a little bit more aesthetic too. But either way, this kind of design, if you go with the H pile design, leaves a lot of flexibility, and again, the biggest issue is when you see a storm coming, you get somebody to come out there, whoever's in charge of the RV park, to go ahead and put those 100 foot, 10 foot wide, I'd recommend 10 foot wide, 4 inch by 12 inch, nominal size, and place that, and you have some spacers, push it up tight against the inside of the H pile, and you're done. And if you get damage, you just replace the board. Does that help at all?
Yes.
Okay.
Questions?
Do you have an estimated cost of what it would cost to do this?
I didn't put an estimated cost. It was based on
linear foot.
Yes, a linear foot of, I think it was 450.
Yeah.
Linear foot. That's really depending on prevailing wage and talking about a lot of other factors that may come in, may change considerably. Mold, demold, things like that. If you've got the road department, I have a feeling they may have put a pile in or two before. So if that happens, then your price of course will come.
It also depends on how much of a length of the RV park you want to put the
seawall
in. So right now, a little over half of the RV park gets impacted. It seems like every year. Last year, the entire park got impacted.
So I did put half the park in, but I also put a 10-foot basis.
Right.
So considering the whole park, if you put it, wait a minute, no, I didn't. I'm sorry. It was 10-foot basis for other. Strike that, reverse it. It was not 10-foot basis. There were 9-foot piles with 3-foot height. You put in 20-foot piles and go up 5 feet, you're going to have more cost for the piles, but it's, frankly, that's not really the expense in these kinds of projects. Mold demold is probably your biggest expense for this project.
Okay. Discussion.
So we'll have openings for the ramps, right?
Sure.
Yes, you can. Yeah,
well, I would make a suggestion if we build any kind of a wall that we build a permanent concrete access to the beach instead of putting ramps out there. Ramps are not the easiest thing to go in and out every twice a year.
And they're slick.
That too, but permanently put in something.
Put a couple of H piles closer so your plank boards will be shorter.
Right.
You're opening those areas. But you want to have an option to close the whole thing off. From what I've seen in the photos that Gary sent me, you want to have full protection of that thing.
Well, I don't have experience with seawalls, but I do have experience with irrigation structures, and a lot of them are built this way. And everything you say is exactly correct. You can take them out, you need them, you put them in. If something, the board deteriorates, you replace the board. And that turns out to be, in a lot of cases, the most practical way to built one of those without, you know, big concrete structure and all sort of things. The only issue I've seen with them is if they aren't properly designed and you have higher flows than expected or a lot of debris come down, sometimes it'll shift the H pile, but generally it's pretty foolproof. And I was very concerned when we started talking about this that we were going to end up building a wall that you couldn't see it through or over. And this, when I saw that, I thought, man, now that solves a lot of issues, including the visual impact.
The public would like that better.
And, you know, we're selling those beachfront RV sites so you can sit in your RV and look at the beach, and it'd be unfortunate to have that obstructed. So, at least from my perspective, I thought that the H pile with wood in them made the most sense by far and away.
You just have to store them decently when they take them out.
Yeah,
true. Yeah. Stacking and so on.
So this project is actually on our natural hazard mitigation plan. So we could, you know, go for a grant this period and get money to install this if that's the direction we want to go. And I think the county might like the idea.
Yeah, we would be in support of whatever your guys' recommendation of this is. There are ways that we could possibly cut costs on some things, like having the road department do it. If our road department's doing this, instead of being contracted out, it wouldn't be done at prevailing wage, which is a huge cost savings for everybody involved. But I'm not going to volunteer the roadmaster to do that. He'd probably be on board, though. He's a very great team player. But, you know, we're not experts in seawall. We're not experts in what your guys' facility is because we don't really know the property. That's what you guys do. That's what you guys know. If your recommendation was to go with this, we'd have no issue with that. The only thing we'd possibly do is have our roadmaster and his engineer look it over real quick before we start moving forward with things. I'm sure they'd come to a similar conclusion.
Yeah, the RV park really gets impacted with our southern storms.
Yeah, and you know, those storms are gonna be yearly. Mm-hmm. One of the nice things
they've
about
been
this
growing.
Is they are removable during your peak season. You might end up finding yourselves in a situation where you just pick a time of year, kind of like when you pull the ramps out anyways, and say, they just go in now so we don't have to worry about chasing Noah.
In my deliberation about this, I tried to think of everything, and the only issue I could think of that could be a problem is somebody burning the darn thing. Burning it. But...
Well, you can put locks on top of the, you know,
well,
configuration.
Well, I'm thinking of somebody building a campfire against it or something. I mean, I can no longer give the public credit for not being very creative in ways to vandalize and damage things. It's just remarkable to me.
Well, the rocks are still going to be there.
Right, we'll move them to do the project and replace them. I like them as a toe anyway.
So, yes,
yeah,
then that will
it's just another energy,
keep
energy
them away
absorber.
From there.
Okay, so we have a recommended action here.
I'd like to have it modified. Just to clarify, to pursue a PDM, pre-disaster mitigation, a grant to go for this, if the board agrees with the log H pile.
Well, let's do that first. How about a motion on the design?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
That's H piles.
Okay, well, I'll make a motion for the design for the seawall to go with the H piles.
With timber.
For the wood and
timber.
Timbers. Thank you.
I'll second that.
Okay, any further discussion? So we have a motion and a second. Gary?
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes. I'll now the second. Action is to modify this motion to continue and pursue a pre-disaster grant, correct?
Correct.
And consider, and we're not stopping the design. We've already got that done.
Yep.
Okay. All right.
I second what you just said.
Okay, I can't make the motion, so go ahead.
And shouldn't we also add in there that we also work with the committee to move forward with it? What grant? Mitigation grant?
That's right. So I'll state it, and you can make it as a motion. So we would direct the port manager to pursue a pre-disaster grant.
Oh, right.
And to have the committee then work with this process when we're going with the county. But that's not a motion, but you can say that's a motion.
Okay, so we'll have the manager would move forward with the pre-disaster grant for the seawall, and also working with the county and the committee. And would be bringing it back to the commission for further
approval? Well, yeah, we would have to see
approval.
We'd have to see the pre-disaster grant stuff
okay.
anyway.
So let's have that. Let's, yeah, do okay. the pre-disaster grant and have Gary and the committee work on that with the county.
I second it.
Okay.
Does not add to
Are you saying with the county?
Well, because they're going to be meeting with them, and so it'd be nice
well,
if they both agree.
I think what we're going to say here is, look, we've already selected the H-file.
Right.
And we're now working on a grant. So as part of this discussion with the county, that will already be determined.
Oh, he does it so
here.
Well.
I know he does it so good. That's why I said I second it.
Ken.
Yeah.
We're voting now, right?
Yes.
Ken.
Yes.
Sharon.
Yes.
Joe.
Yes.
Richard.
Yes. Okay. So that, thank you.
Well, bring this. Really need that wall.
Before we adjourn, we've talked about two commissioners serving on this committee. Maybe it'd be appropriate now to ask volunteers.
I'll volunteer.
Okay, Ken?
I'd volunteer.
And Sharon. Okay, so
is that a good committee for me?
This is the committee to work on the development with the county.
On that.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay, Joe wants to be on that, so I will relinquish my spot and give it to him if he prefers.
You could be my alternate, though, if I'm on the ocean.
Okay, so I'll use the prerogative of the chair and appoint you both to that committee. Okay?
I'll second that.
Anything further, Gary?
Don't believe so, unless the board has something.
I do. I have something further. Okay, so now that the restroom is getting pushed back a little further, and we have removed the porta potties over at the RV park, so the public doesn't have any restrooms now. I know our RV people, they have their own. But
we do have restrooms.
Well, that one, that's way down. But I was wondering if it'd be possible to see about putting those back.
It's all up to Harbor Sanitary. They were the ones that told us
well,
to pull them out.
Well, they said we could get an extension if we requested it, so I would like to see that happen. Because some of the, even the people in the RVs that I've talked to, they said, well, and when we're out, we got to hurry up and get back to our place, so.
Yeah, I've heard complaints both ways.
Okay.
Heard people complaining that they were there and smelly and
well,
so.
We maintain them. Okay.
What is the cost of to do that?
The ones that we had out there is $1,300 a month.
And what's our anticipated RV park use now? It should be declining.
It's way declined. Okay. But weather like this, you get people showing up. But
yeah.
Going in the winter, it's going to be less when the weather's bad.
I just have one question, and that's not relevant to our development.
What?
On this, we've got contour lines here, but no reference. What is the elevation change from the south end to the north end of the RV park? Do you know offhand?
It's roughly 27, if Jack remembers, 27 feet.
It's about 6 feet.
Yes, 27 down to like 21. 27 at the entrance, down to 21 at the jetty that your finger's at.
6 feet.
Yeah.
I don't want to leave Sharon's comments hanging.
Well, it's okay. It was just a question to okay. see if it was possible to have that done.
Yeah, I can ask Kelly if we can put a couple. Maybe we'll put three of them back.
If you don't feel like
out,
you need them now, I understand.
Well, I'd recommend not $1,300 worth. But if there's some needed, then I'd be okay.
I'm glad we're coming out winter, though, because we do have less activity there.
Anything else? Okay, hearing none, we are adjourned.
Thank you.
Yeah, I was meeting with the artists. Yeah. Right here. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Could that be locked without a key, or does it need to be?
I can stay for that meeting. Okay. Yeah, I probably should stay since Daniel's not here.
I'm sorry?
I should stay since Daniel's not here.
Yeah. That'd be great. I was surprised to see the conference. I thought that it was going to be built.
That design,
even if I threw
for all that, all the work that you're going to do is based on keeping the grade as it is now.
You're going to go look at the boarding. You're going to look at the boarding docks.
Yeah.
Or the my friend. Yeah. No, I got another meeting. You can either, if Travis is available, you can get it full of Travis.